Krishna.
As you all know, recently His Holiness Bhaktiswara Tamada Maharaj left this planet, and day before yesterday in Vrindavan, in Radhapur, we put him in Samadhi. I just came back last night from that program, from that ceremony, from Vrindavan. So today I decided to discuss about His Holiness Bhaktiswara Damodara Maharaj. I'm sure all of you know him, or at least know of him. Recently Maharaj came here twice. Maharaj came for the temple inauguration, and before that also Maharaj came here when we were in the Mahananda community center. And Maharaj gave a class, led a beautiful kirtan, and his Manipuri devotees performed a very wonderful punchala, that dance, mridanga dance. And we had a very, very beautiful evening that day. Maharaj actually came here to attend one conference, and so that evening he spent the time with us. I will first say, discuss about the wonderful experience I had in Vrindavan during Maharaj's Samadhi ceremony. Krishna consciousness is scientific, and at a time like this, we get to see how scientific it is. And the science is, the science of Krishna consciousness is that it defies all scientific laws. Materialistic science deals with just the material nature, but Krishna consciousness is on another platform altogether. Krishna consciousness is spiritual, and the spiritual defines all the laws of materiality. Like in the material nature, everything is inert, but spirit is conscious. In material nature, everything is transient, but in the spiritual platform, everything is dynamic. Or we can put it like, in the material platform everything is static, but in spiritual platform everything is ecstatic. So spiritual nature completely defines the law of material nature. And this Krishna consciousness gives us the knowledge about the spiritual reality. Krishna consciousness reminds us about our spiritual identity, and Krishna consciousness shows us the way to go back to the spiritual side. At a time like this, when we see an exalted devotee, not only an exalted devotee, pure devotee, when he lives a planet, he shows us through the practical demonstration about the reality of the spiritual nature. The spiritual nature is not just an imagination. Spiritual nature is not just concocted ideas. The spiritual nature is reality. When Srila Prabhupada left this planet, that became very clear to us. When Srila Prabhupada left the planet, Prabhupada was completely withdrawn from the material nature. I had the good fortune of serving Srila Prabhupada during those days. And as Srila Prabhupada stopped eating, Prabhupada barely slept. But still, Prabhupada was so awake. Although his body was practically incapable of doing it, his body became so frail, so weak, that Prabhupada couldn't even turn to his side. But Prabhupada was in his perfect Krishna consciousness. His consciousness was absolutely clear. So much so that although Prabhupada could not move even to his side, he was lying on his bed, and when Prabhupada wanted to move to his side, he was lying on his back. Sometimes we find a little uncomfortable, so Prabhupada used to tell us that he wanted to turn to his side. And we very, very carefully had to turn to his side, because his body was so thin. Can be a great concern. It may hurt, it may not change, or it may not change. But even in that condition, Prabhupada, one can even say that Prabhupada's body was totally incapable of doing anything. He couldn't sit down, he couldn't even turn to his side. But still, he was translating Shrimad Bhagavatam. One devotee used to hold a microphone near Prabhupada's mouth. And Pradyumna Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's Sanskrit secretary, he was calling an American, he was a scholar, Sanskrit scholar. And he learned Sanskrit by himself. Some of our devotees are very, very exceptional. Prabhupada Prabhu used to read the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada used to give the word-for-word translation. Then Prabhupada used to do the translation. And then Prabhupada used to give the word-for-word. Now, isn't it inconceivable? How can one he doesn't have any strength to turn even to his side. He stopped eating, but he just kept on translation of Bhagavatam. Not only giving the translation, giving his purpose. The 13th and 14th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam was translated by Prabhupada in that condition. And then he left his body chanting the Holy Name. We didn't hear the sound, actually, I was giving water sounds from time to time to the Holy Name.
Krishna Babaji Maharaj was there. And at one point, Babaji Maharaj was still asleep. He's still chanting. I couldn't hear that he was chanting. But Babaji Maharaj pointed out that when Prabhupada was opening his mouth, his lips, his tongue was like, very beautiful. Chanting the holy name in their pursuit. So in this way, Prabhupada taught us how to lead. But different devotees will lead their bodies in different ways. That also we have seen. Like Bhaktivedanta Maharaj also left his body after prolonged physical difficulties or physical ailments. Whereas Tamakrishna Maharaj left all of a sudden, apparently in an accident. He was driving to a camera and there was an accident. But his postmortem actually meant declared that he left his body before the impact of the accident. So normally people may think that he left his body in an accident. But the reality was, even before the accident took place, and many, many indications were there that Tamakrishna left his body. Tamakrishna knew that he was going to leave. Like just before he was leaving, Tamakrishna, some devotee asked him, where you are going, something you have to say, I don't want to know what you fly away. I'm going home. And one of the students were going back to Oxford, where he was saying, I don't want his home, rather my brother was home. And he was saying that he was going home. So he was later on talking to him. I know that when a devotee was attacking, there are to him also Tamakrishna said something that there is no need to have so many things because they don't need it. Now, the last meeting I had with Tamakrishna, we were chanting in his room, pacing up and down, we were chanting together. And at one point Tamakrishna told me to take care of his disciples in Calcutta. And I said, you should take care of him. Maharaj used to have a few disciples in Calcutta who asked me to take care of him. So I just took it like that and said, you should take care. Then Maharaj said, they are their children, and you are their father. That's it, no. I am their uncle, and you are their father. And he just keeps on insisting, no, you are their father. At that time, I couldn't understand why he was speaking like that. And but then, after he left his body, then he offered to me. And why he spoke like that. And Srila Vakshimara and I were very close. We had a very, very, we spent 10 months together as a Vakshimara. same kind of room. You know, like my younger brother. Later on, of course, both of us, especially I became very busy. I would spend some of his time with him. And I lamented about that. And at that time, I never knew that he was going to do that. And at one point, we were that was also in my mind was telling me about setting up a university. And he was telling me that you have to help me. And I said, yeah, sure. And he told me, you're so busy now. Sometimes you speak your own name, but you are a new crow and I'm an old crow. So when one is new at something, then he becomes very, very interesting.